The Sundance Film Festival is underway in Park City, Utah. The festival closes on Sunday. Winners in five categories will be announced tomorrow night. Los Angeles Times and Morning Edition film critic Kenneth Turan is there, and he broke away from back-to-back screenings to talk to us for a few minutes. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Sorry to tear you away from these screenings, but we're interested. You know, I understand the festival has added two new categories to its list of awards. Tell us about them.
Yes, these categories have existed before, but they've never been competitive. And this is the World Documentary category and the World Dramatic category. And the festival has decided to kind of, it's almost like it wants to brand, extend its brand. I mean, it's done so well with American documentaries and American dramatic competitions. People really know who wins those things. So I think they just want to do the same thing for the rest of the world.
And is Sundance different in any way this year, other than, say, those two new categories?
It's more crowded than it's ever been, especially the first three or four days when the kind of players from Hollywood come up and the major parties happen. It's so crowded that even Robert Redford, who runs the Sundance Institute, who usually doesn't talk about these things, says, you know, boy, it's getting really crowded and, you know, I wonder what's going to happen in the future. It's just gotten huge.
And have the movies that you're seeing been worth braving the crowds?
That's a good question. Well, this year, as always, the documentary films are the ones that are really worth it, the ones that are really exciting, and especially the World documentary, maybe because it's competitive for the first time this year, they've taken extra pains to have really good documentaries that were made in countries outside the U.S. The kind of the most unusual was called Yang Ban Shi, The Eight Model Works. And this is a look at these kind of propaganda operas that Madame Mao mandated during Mao's tenure as running China, and for like a period of about 10 years, the only things you could see on stage throughout China were these model works. They talked to people who were in them, people who have now reinvigorated their popularity so that they're revived now, kind of like the way we revive Oklahoma. It's really a fascinating phenomenon. Now, the one that I really like that's really on a very personal kind of film is called Unknown White Male. And this is the kind of stuff you only see in documentaries. This is about a young man, a man in his 30s, who completely lost his memory. He woke up one morning, did not know who he was. This was in New York City. He turned himself into the police. Through a fluke, it was discovered who he was, and his friends rallied to him, and his family rallied to him. And through recreation and through tapes he made while this was happening, he interacts with people who say they've known him for 20 years, and he's never seen them before, has no idea who they were. It's just a fascinating story.
And a story he tells himself.
No, he doesn't tell it himself, actually. One of these people who knew him for 20 years is a filmmaker, as it turned out, and he got the idea to make a film about this. And again, when he started rediscovering himself before the filmmaker got involved, he made some videos himself, which are part of the film.
Well, Ken, how did the dramatic features stack up against some of these really great documentaries?
Well, the dramatic features, and this is always the case in Sundance, or almost always the case, the dramatic features are not as strong. Often they're by very promising directors who you know their next film will be great, and this one is kind of a film where they kind of are learning their craft. The one that I like the best is not in competition. It's in the premiere section where they put films that they think have a little more kind of heat behind them. It's a film called The Ballad of Jack and Rose. It's directed by Rebecca Miller, who won the grand jury prize two or three years ago with a film called Personal Velocity. It stars Daniel Day-Lewis. It's a father-daughter story. It's an unusual story about a father who was very idealistic, still lives in a commune he founded, is ill, and is kind of trying to figure out his legacy to his daughter and trying to figure out his personal life as well. It's a film I really enjoy. It's very satisfying to watch.
I would also say it might have special poignance because Rebecca Miller, of course, is playwright Arthur Miller's daughter.
Exactly, and I'm sure that plays in somewhere into it, but it's really a wonderful film.
So, Ken, Sundance has grown and it's become more commercial, and that's been something that people have been beating their breasts about for years now, but is it a showcase these days for independent voices?
It still is a showcase for independent voices because it's the place where people come to look. It's a place where journalists come. A lot of journalists are here from all over the country, all over the world. It's a place where agents come to sign new talent. It's a place still where the studio's independent divisions come to find films to acquire. There's not always a lot to acquire, but they're always here to look. I mean, even though Sundance does have its problems, this is the place you have to go. Even if you come home disappointed, you still have to be here.
Ken, thanks very much.
Thank you, Renee.
I want to say have fun, but I know this is actually work for you. Kenneth Turan is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times and Morning Edition, speaking to us from Park City, Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.